It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. October is an exciting month for sports. Big Ten football and the Badgers, teams vying to make the World Series with baseball playoffs, and then the Packers in pursuit of leading the NFC North, Milwaukee Bucks back on the court in preseason. Wow, let's hear what you're following. Call in the question or comments, 800-642-1234. Talk is right here at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Justice Cleveland is here, sports director at WEAU-TV in Eau Claire. Justice, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we're going to start with Brewers, and I feel like we need to play, you know, sad trombone. But, you know, what happened against the Arizona Diamondbacks? What went on there?
Lack of timely hitting, really. I mean, they both got a lead in both games early on, and then after that couldn't really do anything. And then just that's kind of been their curse the last couple playoffs is when they need the big hits. They're not able to get them. They out-hit the Diamondbacks in the series, had a higher batting average, but just couldn't get the runs home. And it's just kind of been the script for the Brewers the last couple times they've made the playoffs.
Well, let's take a listen to the Brewers manager Craig Counsell talking with reporters after Wednesday night's game.
I thought we did a pretty decent job creating some opportunities. You know, a night again where we felt like we were a hit away, where we needed something to fall and it didn't. And that's how it is. You know, they got the big outs when they needed to get the big outs, and we didn't get the big hits when we needed to get the big hits.
That's how it is. Justice, how surprising is this outcome to be eliminated in the playoffs so early?
It's tough because obviously the past couple of times they've been in, it's been like the same script. So in a way, it's you go in with high expectations because this team was able to win 92 games during the regular season. I think exceeded many people's expectations with that. So you're hoping that carries over into the playoffs. You have a really good pitching staff, which they were dealt a blow even before the series started when Brandon Woodruff went on the injured list. So it almost like once the Woodruff news came, I feel like it took a lot of people's expectations and dropped them. And unfortunately for that came to fruition with the way they played against the Diamondbacks. So a great regular season where they really exceed expectations, but unfortunately the same script in the playoffs.
So, you know, Craig Counsell in flux a bit. Is Counsell leaving, staying? What is your prediction?
Well, the cards are truly all in, you know, he's holding all of them right now. It's tough because I think you got a guy who's, he's from Wisconsin. He's got big Wisconsin roots and obviously managing his basically hometown team. But you can never discount, somebody from New York coming with, the Brinks truck backing it up. And if the money's right, I don't know. I would love to see him stay in Wisconsin. I think it's such a great story to have somebody from Whitefish Bay managing the team that he followed his whole life, but you also hear grumblings of some fans that are already ready for something to move on, which I don't understand because the guy has brought the greatest stretch of success the Brewers have had in franchise history since he's taken over at manager. So I would hope that he stays, but he also has a family, and that's a tough thing as well. And when your kids are getting older and you're trying to manage and you know nothing but being on the road, but as a player and as a manager, you got to make, those considerations as well. So I don't know. I right now, I think it's a toss-up. I really do think it's a toss-up if he comes back or not. And the fact that David Stern took over for the Mets and who used to be the Brewers general manager, there's always those ties there. And they're looking for a manager for the Mets. So there's going to be an offer for him, but we'll see which one does he stay back home or does he go to the Big Apple?
How soon do Brewers need resolution on a manager? What's the timeline here?
I would think, by the end of the playoffs, you would like to know. I think the sooner the better is always, as a franchise, you want to know so you can start making those interviews and start getting a plan for when free agency starts right at the end of the season. So you have an idea of who's going to be in charge there. So, I mean, I think they would rather know sooner or later, but I think they're going to give him time to think about it. They'll give him all the time he wants to think about it, but I'm sure if New York wants him too, they're going to want an answer because they're going to have to make offers to other guys once the playoff ends or before that. So I think sooner than later, I think everybody would like to know and have a little resolution. But again, I think the Brewers are going to give counsel time to make that decision.
Okay, something to watch there as we catch up on Wisconsin sports with Justice Cleveland, sports director at WEAU-TV in Eau Claire. You can join the conversation. Sports you're watching, 800-642-1234. Your questions and comments are welcome. Turning to the Bucks, Giannis back for a ninth season. Last week, the team sealed a blockbuster trade in longtime Portland Trailblazers point guard Damian Lillard. What does that trade mean for the Bucks?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I don't think they've made a splash like this since I think they traded for Gary Payton back in the 2000 era about the Ray Allen trade. That one didn't work out for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I hope this one does, because Damian Lillard is one of the best players of his generation. And to have him teaming up with another best player of his generation gives the Bucks a 1-2 punch. I don't know if they've seen. I loved Drew Holiday for that team, and he was a great community guy as well. But Lillard's on a different level than that. So adding that with Chris Middleton, who they already have another all-star, that gives them the vaunted big three that you're always looking for in the NBA. And I think it also means that you have Giannis locked, a good chance of bringing Giannis back once his contract's up, because he had said that he wants to be there as long as the team's competitive. And when you go and make the biggest trade of the summer,
you're making a statement. Yeah, but, you know, what kind of synergy do you see between Giannis and Lillard?
That's the question that's got to be answered. You know, you've got two superstars now. Usually you mm-hmm. only have one megastar. But when you have two megastars like that, you just got to make sure that they're getting enough touches and getting enough shots. And, yeah, I mean, Giannis is as selfish of a player as you're going to get. He is, you know, always goes to bat for his teammates. So I think it'll work out there. And takes pressure off of him, honestly. I think it's something that will benefit him, because I think last season we saw it, he had to kind of try to play the hero in a lot of these games because the Bucks were battling injuries and were just ineffective at times. And that takes a toll on your body. And mm-hmm. we've seen it the last few years, he's had to miss games. So having somebody like Lillard there to take that pressure off, I think it's going to be beneficial to Giannis as a player.
Brooke Lopez, are those feet firmly, you know, on the Bucks, you know, in terms of our starting center?
I think so. They brought his brother back. They brought Robin Lopez back, too. So we've got, if anything, you're going to have entertainment from those two during the season.
Oh, well, that will be helpful there, I'm sure. You know, and then you've got a head coach in Adrian Griffin, new head coach. What do you see in him?
I think we're going to see a more offensive-driven team. I really think they're going to, you know, they played pretty good defense under Coach Budenholzer, and then it kind of started to slip. But now if you have Lillard and Giannis, you're going to see a team, I think, that's going to maybe change things up a little on offense. I mean, NBA is an offensive-driven league, so you're not going to see, you know, you're going to see lots of points no matter what. But I think they just, you know, it's crazy how quickly it goes. What have you done for me lately? With, you know, Budenholzer leading them to a title, and then a couple of years later, you're gone. But that kind of is how it goes in the NBA. You have a few guys who are head coaches for a long time in places, but a lot of times it's, you know, if there's a rebuild or any kind of that, you know, something like that going on, they move on. So it's a new look, a new face, and we'll see what he can do with this new look Bucks squad as well.
Do you have any insights on how he treats players or his demeanor compared to Budenholzer?
From all that I've heard is that, you know, he's very much beloved by his players.
Okay.
He's a guy who's experienced it, so he knows, you know, he's played, so that's a little bit different than what Budenholzer, you know, not being an NBA player at some point. So maybe there's a little more insight like that, but I mean, he's got a lot to manage. I mean, this is the expectations are going to be very, very high on him, especially with Lillard coming. They were going to be high no matter what, but now you bring in Lillard. And, you know, the NBA world is going to be watching Milwaukee now to see what happens. You can kind of sneak under the radar like they did the last couple of years, even as NBA champs. But you bring in Lillard, and now the microscope's going to be there.
Well, let's take a call now. Jack in Madison. Jack, what are you watching?
Hey, good morning. I am just really excited for, you know, Wisconsin sports in general from fall with Packers, Badgers, and Bucks. But I'm particularly following the Badger hockey team since we got a new coach and a change in a key player staff. And I don't want to badmouth Tony Vernaro because I think he did the best he could with the program the past couple of years, but Bucky wasn't able to perform as well on the ice as he would have hoped. But I'm just really psyched about this season. Hopefully we have a chance to reach the Frozen Four this year. But I wondered if your guests had any insight as to how the Badger hockey team is looking and what we might be able to pull off this season.
Jack, thanks so much. Just really quickly, Jack, what do you love about games?
You know, Kate, especially being at the Kohl Center and I guess also Camp Randall, I just love the atmosphere, being in the student section, you know, chanting Civ at the opposition and singing Varsity. It's really just the atmosphere and the game day experience on the whole.
Yeah.
Can't say good things about it.
Thanks for calling in. Justice, any insights there?
Oh, I think this is going to be a fun team to watch. I really do. I mean, Mike Hastings comes in, and he's done a good job when he was at Minnesota State there. And for him to come in and kind of revitalize and give a little new energy to that hockey team. Granato was a great coach, and I think, unfortunately, he had some teams that had high expectations that just could not get to that point and had a lot of talent that just didn't gel. So I think you bring in Mike Hastings, and he's going to, you know, I think if he's able to get that talent that they have there to gel, you're going to get that loud, raucous atmosphere back at the Kohl Center that, you know, this team deserves. I mean, I've been to hockey games there at the Kohl Center. It is just such a fun atmosphere when that team's doing well. And I really hope that they can come back with Hastings can bring that back to the team there. And I think he will. I think he will. I think there's plenty of great talent from around the Midwest here. They got Canadian talent as well that's going to be on this team. And if they can just find a way to get it all to connect, it should be a fun season there at Kohl Center.
Okay, Jack, rub those hands together. All right, make it happen. Justice Cleveland, sports director at WEAU-TV in Eau Claire. More Wisconsin sports conversation to dig into ahead. Call in with the question. Share your insights, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get up to speed on a busy month for Wisconsin sports fans. Brewers get knocked out of the playoffs. Bucks land a big trade, take to the court. The Packers, we're going to talk about this, prepare for Monday Night Football. And the Badgers host Rutgers at Camp Randall Stadium. So what are you watching for? Call in with the question. Share comments at any point. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to talk. Email ideas at WPR.org. Justice Cleveland has a pulse on it all. Our guide, sports director at WEAU-TV in Eau Claire. Justice, let's turn to the Packers, you know, Monday Night Football against the Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders. What are you watching for in this game?
Well, I think the big storyline is Devontae Adams returning, or Packers playing him, going down there to play him, but him facing his old squad. So I think that'll be one of the big things going in that people are going to look at you know, obviously the career he had with the Packers and last year going to the Raiders, but also just to see how the Packers bounce back after a really ugly loss to the Lions on Thursday Night Football about a week ago.
How are the Packers matching up with your expectations this season? What do you see in them?
I think we're seeing what I expected. It's a young team that's going through growing pains. You know, the fact that they're at 500 at this point at 2-2, I think is a victory for them. You get a big win to start the season over the Bears. Mm-hmm. Everything's looking great. And then you go and lose a lead to the Falcons the next week in the fourth quarter, come back, beat the Saints, then lose a ugly game to the Lions. So I think this is kind of what you expect with such a young team with a first year starter at quarterback. Jordan Love, I think, has looked actually really good. And it hasn't really been the problem with the team. I think the defense at times has disappeared. And then there's been the offensive line really disappeared, especially in that Lions game where they couldn't get anything going on the ground. So I think it's a young team, tempered expectations, but now they've kind of had a mini bye, and we'll see what they can do coming off that against that Raiders team in another primetime game.
So if Raiders go in this and they run the ball, will the Packers defensive line respond?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. They have to, or you know, Josh Jacobs and that team can just run over them. And that's what we saw the Lions do on both sides. Their run game was going great, and their defense was just running through the Packers line. So those are the two big things you take away from that last game that they really need to shore up, or they could be in some trouble on Monday.
Well, let's take a listen here. Head coach Matt LaFleur spoke on the Rich Eisen Sports Talk radio show about working with the new quarterback, Jordan Love.
I think he's done an outstanding job just being prepared and being a leader, because there's been a couple games now where we've been down, and to see the resiliency that he has, watching him build up his teammates, really encouraging them.
That's a nice endorsement there. How do you feel about those words, Justice?
Oh, I completely agree. Just being there, especially when they played the Saints, and watching him on the sidelines, he doesn't get rattled. And you can hear that from his teammates in the locker room will reiterate that as well. He's poised beyond the years that he's actually played on the field in the NFL. And I think him sitting behind Aaron Rodgers and kind of soaking in all that and then getting his chance has made him appreciate the opportunity that he has. And then when he goes out there, he's just a great leader. So that's what you want to see. And I think it's a formula that has worked for the Packers and worked with Aaron Rodgers. Sit him for a couple of years, let them catch up to the speed of the NFL, because it's so much different from the college game, and then go out there and find some immediate success. And I think that's what he's had.
Okay, so Raiders QB Jimmy Garoppolo coming off of a concussion. What will his situation be against the Packers?
That's going to be a tough one, because, you know, with concussions, you don't know anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be, and it's good. I mean, I like the fact that they make sure that these guys are ready to come back, because once you get a concussion, it's so much easier to get another concussion, and it can just keep snowballing. So if he's out there, I mean, it's a big difference. If he's out there leading the Raiders, it's a much more difficult task for them to stop him. So that's a big key thing. And he's one of those quarterbacks, he's had success against the Packers when he was in San Francisco. So he's a much more viable option than Aiden O'Connell is for the Raiders, who is their backup. So, yeah, I mean, if he's out there and he's got a connection with Davante Adams, who's also questionable but more than likely will play, yeah, if they're missing Jimmy Garoppolo and Davante Adams, that's a whole different Raiders team that the Packers defense will be looking at.
Okay, need your hot take on David Bakhtiari. Done for the season. What do you make of the injury there on injured reserve?
I think if this was 20 years ago, it was probably a career-ending injury. Hmm. And I think, you know, with the advancements in science, sports science, he's been able to get back on the field, but I don't think he's ever going to be the same player he was before that. You know, it was that New Year's Eve practice when he destroyed his knee. I think he's a gamer who wants to get back out on the field, because he doesn't want to be just taking the money. He wants to be out there doing something, but I don't know if it's in the cards for him to ever return to the field full time like that. I think it just was such a devastating injury that he's never going to be the same player.
We're talking Wisconsin sports with Justice Cleveland, sports director at WEAU-TV in Eau Claire. You can join in as we catch up on Sports World. What you're watching, 800-642-1234. Bring your question and your insights. Well, turning to the Badgers, scheduled to play their first Big Ten home game this Saturday against Rutgers. What do you expect Camp Randall to do there?
Oh, it'll be rocking. We know that. That's not going to be a problem. It's homecoming. It's a morning start. I think it's going to be a fun game. And that's for this matchup. That's perfect for them. That's their second Big Ten game there after coming off that win against Purdue, which feels like a month ago, but it was September 22nd.
Well, they had the bye week. Like, yeah.
Right.
Bit of rest.
Yeah, and it was a Friday game too. So you throw in the fact that you had another extra day there, but Rutgers has been playing really good football. So they lose Ches Malusi in that Purdue game, which really hurts their running game. But yeah, I they're going to need everything to beat that Rutgers squad at home.
Well, let's hear a bit of head coach Luke Fickell talking to reporters at a press conference this week. And here's Fickell talking about player improvement.
There wasn't one in particular thing that you could just point at like we did in the first few weeks with turnovers and third downs. But I think there's a lot of little fundamental things that we have to do a lot better as we move forward.
A lot of fundamental things that we have to do a lot better as we move forward. Can you help us understand those words there, Justice?
I think it's just closing out games and just you know, keeping that high level of play. I think in every game they've played this year, there's been just lulls where they're just not playing up to their standard. We even saw it in week one against Buffalo, you know, considered a weaker non-conference game where they kind of let them back into the game before pulling away and getting the victory. The loss at Washington State, I mean, they were in that game and had a good chance to win it until the end. And then even the Purdue game, you know, you win 38-17, but there was a point in the third quarter where Purdue made it a game again. So I think it's a lot of that just maintaining that high level that they're starting games out for the whole game and not letting teams get back into it.
How about starting QB Tanner Mordecai playing this season? What do you see in him coming out of SMU?
He's looking good. He is looking good in controlling that team and giving him maybe another dimension that they didn't have the last couple years. And he's a guy who's played a lot of football already. So, you know, in this day of the transfer portal, you get guys who are basically veterans coming to your team.
Well, he's like 23 or something.
I mean, right, exactly. So he's a guy got a lot of football miles under him there. So
yeah.
I think he's that, you know, with Luke Fickell coming in, bringing in some of these guys has kind of reinvigorated in a way the program. And I think a lot of bells and whistles go off with that. You know, they manage social media now. It's amazing the amount of stuff that comes out. So I think that's what this day and age in college football is creating these bells and whistles to, you know, be like, hey, look at me over here. And you get these transfers to come in. It is definitely a different world. And Mordecai, I mean, it's been a benefit to the Badgers getting him in.
Well, you know, he's had to build trust and rapport really quickly with his teammates. It sounds like he has that maturity to do that, to accomplish that in a really short time.
Oh, yeah. And with the quarterback position, any level, you need that. And I think for him to come in and get that trust with his players that quickly just tells you what kind of player he is.
Let's go to Tom in Columbus. Tom, hi, go ahead.
Hello, I have kind of a Wisconsin sports-related incident I'd like to share with you folks and with the state. My wife and I were fortunate enough that we were able to be out in Acadia National Park last week, and it was beautiful, but we also took a whale-watching tour on a boat with 300 other people, and we saw whales. It was interesting, but anyway, stepping off the gangplank onto the dock when we got back, a person behind me said, hey, Packer guy. And I had a red Packer hat I bought the pro shop years ago on. And I turned around to find an individual dressed head to toe in New Orleans Saints gear.
Uh-huh.
Winter hat, turtleneck, jacket. It was cold out in the ocean. You dressed for winter when you went out there.
How did you two interrelate? Like, what was that like?
Well, he said, did you see that game? And my wife and I said, no, we didn't. He said, well, we went to Lambeau, and he motioned to the girl next to him. And I said, well, what'd you think? And he said, we were never treated better in life.
Oh.
He said, there were people in the stadium parking lots that were cooking food from the opponent's team. So we ate New Orleans and Cajun cuisine. Your streets were clean. The stadium was amazing. The highways were clean. Even the airport was nice.
Oh,
so
wow. What a...
cannot wait to get back there again. And my wife and I's head kind of swelled a little bit, like, all right.
That is certainly some nice testimonial there. Tom, thanks for sharing that story. Justice, that probably makes you smile as well.
Oh, it does. I'm from Green Bay, so just to hear, you know, that the town treated them so right and the team treated them like the fans. There's some places you won't dare wear opponents, you know, gear into the stands. But I think Green Bay is a very welcoming community, and it's good to hear something like that. They had a great positive experience.
Justice, thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
Justice Cleveland, sports director at WEAU-TV in Eau Claire. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.